All right, church. Well, I'm excited, man. Great morning. Listen, we are studying the book of Galatians. We're in week six. I think we've done six. Maybe we're in week seven. I think for the last 6 weeks, we've been diving into the book of Galatians. And this morning, we're going to continue that on. And so I'm going to ask for a couple of favors. Number one, if you have a Bible, open it up with me to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to finish out chapter 3 and look at the first seven verses of chapter 4. We're also going to ask that you grab a bulletin. And if you didn't get one of these when you came in, totally fine. We've got a digital version of that, same way you did the offering. If you'll open up the camera app on your phone, scan that QR code, it's going to take you to our online notes. Here's the deal, guys. We are here to be changed. That's what Christianity is about. It's about transformation, becoming more and more and more like Jesus. And so when we say we're going to study the scriptures, that's what we're going to do. Study involves taking notes. It involves going home, talking about it, thinking about it. So part of those notes we give you every week are questions that you can ask. You can ask of yourself. You can ask of your spouse. You can ask of your children so that you'll continue to think about what you've heard, that we might be changed by God's Word. And so I'm going to pray for our time in God's Word, and then we're going to jump in this morning. Father, thank you for allowing us to gather here. Holy Spirit, we try to pause every week and recognize who the teacher of the church is. And Holy Spirit, that is you. I ask that you would come now and that you would fill this pulpit. I pray that you would exalt Jesus Christ in our midst. I pray that you would show us what the gospel means for us. I pray this morning specifically that you would teach us what it means to be sons of God, what Christ has actually done for us on the cross, and that we might own it, and it might change us. And we ask that in Jesus Christ's holy, powerful, and precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, 6 weeks in Galatians, so far what we've learned is that the Apostle Paul wrote this book to churches that he planted in Galatia, and he planted them, but some people came along and infiltrated them pretty quickly. And this group that infiltrated them, we call them the Judaizers. And basically, they're telling these Gentile believers, these non-Jewish Christians, that to really be saved, you have to become Jewish. That's basically what they're teaching. Yes, you must believe in Jesus, but you also have to be circumcised, and you have to follow all of the Jewish laws and all of the Jewish customs. And to that, Paul is like, no, that is not the gospel. The word gospel means good news. And what Apostle Paul is teaching us is that if anything in regards to our relationship with God is based upon our own works, that is not good news. That's terrible news because you and I are going to fail, okay? We are. We're fallen. We're sinful. And so Paul, this is a big deal for him. And so he's kind of been defending that. Now, last week, we began to talk about Abraham. And we talked about God's covenant with Abraham, specifically that God is the one that made the covenant, that typically a covenant, it's a promise that two parties enter into, but Abraham never walked through the sacrifice, only God did. And we said, listen, that means that first covenant that God had with Abraham to be his God, that the world would be blessed through his seed, that was a covenant of grace. Abraham had no promise in that. He had no skin in the game. It was all God. It's all grace. And then we said the law was then added 430 years later. And the Jews wanted to act like the law changed the promise. And Paul's like, nope. Different things, right? The promise and the law are different. They have different purposes, different reasons. So last week we talked about, well, what is the law then to us as Christians? And then we talked about Jesus as the ultimate seed of Abraham. Paul's very clear that God didn't say, Abraham, I'm giving you seeds, plural. He said seed one, referring to Jesus Christ. So we're going to pick up where all that left off. I'm in Galatians chapter 3. We're going to read verse 26, the last verse of chapter 3, and then we're going to read, or last few verses, 26 through 29, last few verses of chapter 3, and then we're going to read the first seven verses of chapter 4. God's word says this, "For through faith you are all sons of God in Christ Jesus. For those of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. And there is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Now I say that as long as the heir is a child, he differs in no way from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. Instead, he's under guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were in slavery under the elements of the world. But get this, verse 4, and this time has come, by the way, that's what Paul means. He says, when the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir. Sermon outline's pretty simple this morning, ABCs. We're going to talk about adoption, we're going to talk about baptism, and we're going to talk about Christ as our identity. So three observations. Here's the first this morning, guys. I want you to know that when we put our faith in Jesus, God legally adopts us and gives us full rights and privileges as sons and heirs. When we put our faith in Jesus, God legally adopts us and he gives us full rights and privileges as sons and as heirs. We find this concept beginning in verse 26, right? It's where we picked up. It says, for through faith, you are all sons of God in Christ Jesus. Well, how is this so? Well, Paul explains it in verse 4 and 5 of the next chapter, chapter 4. He says, when the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Y'all, adoption is costly. That's why Jesus came. He came to redeem us. That word redeem in the Greek, it means to ransom. It actually means to pay a price to recover someone from under the power of another. Right? And that's what Jesus did. When Jesus came under the law, when he fulfilled the law, when he paid the penalty for our sin upon the cross, he redeemed us. He paid the price to get us out of the power of the one that we were under. Who were we under? We were under the power of the enemy, the power of the evil one, the power of the devil. We were under the power of sin, the power of shame. And Jesus paid the price to get us out from under that. That's what it means. And by doing so, he makes us sons. Now, we talked about this last week just a little bit. Why does Paul say he makes us sons and not sons and daughters? Ladies, think of it this way. Guys have to deal with this when it says that we're all the bride of Christ. And guys are like, that makes me feel weird. This should make you feel a little weird. That's okay. But when we say sons of God, why does that matter? Well, because in ancient cultures, it was illegal for women to be heirs. It was illegal. They couldn't be legal heirs. So when Paul says that through Christ, we've been adopted all as sons, it means something. It means that we all of us have full rights as God's children, as his sons. We have an inheritance. That's what he's talking about in verse 28 when he says, there's no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. He means now there is no distinction in God's eyes between us. If we put our faith in Christ, we are his child. 100%. No distinction in his eyes. There is no lesser party there in his eyes. Nor should there be in our eyes towards one another, right? And listen, this message is really important for the Galatians. It's important for us too, by the way, because we struggle with the gospel. You're like, no, we don't, Pastor, we got it. No, you don't. You don't. You don't got it. That's why we keep preaching it. We don't get the gospel. We only get half the gospel. In fact, if you ask most Christians what the gospel is, they're going to say that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And you know what? That's half of it. You get it half right. But that's the problem. The Galatians got it half right. And when we get it only half right, when we think that the gospel is just that Christ died for my sins, then the problem is I start to believe that after that, something is up to me. That after that, my relationship, my closeness is all about my behavior. And if I have a good week, then God loves me. And if I have a bad week, He's disappointed. Right? And you know you do this. Amen? Come on. And that's the people that Paul's writing to. Listen, they have bought into a lie. They've started to believe that by grace they are saved, but through works, somehow they remain close to God. And you and I buy into that lie all the time. And you've got to own it. You've got to know that that is you right now, or you can't change. But here's the other half of the gospel that we're supposed to get. Is not just that Jesus died for our sins, but in doing so, He transferred to us, He imputed to us all of His rights and privileges as the Son of God. That's huge. Which is why Paul says, and now our spirits cry out, Abba, Father. Our spirits cry out, Abba, Father. Right? Verse 6 and 7, because your sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir. That word Abba is actually Aramaic. And it's really weird, because Paul is writing to people that don't speak Aramaic. So why would he do that? Why would he use this Aramaic term, Abba, to a group of people that don't speak the language? The reason he does it is because that is the exact term that Jesus used when he prayed to God. He cried out, Abba, Father. And what Paul is saying is that we are now legitimate sons of God, and we get to call God Abba. It's huge. That's the other half of the gospel that you've got to understand. It is not just that Jesus died for your sins, but it is also that He has given you all of His rights and privileges, and you are indeed His sons. It matters. By the way, guys, that changes everything. That means that when I fail, you know what? When my kids fail, they can always come talk to me. It never changes their standing in my eyes. In fact, I think failure is one of the best teachers in life. Has been for me. And so when my kids fail, they're always going to get a hug. They're always going to hear, I love you. Going to ask, how can I pray for you? Some of us treat God not like our Father. We just treat God like a judge. And when we fail, we hide from Him in fear that somehow He's going to cast us off. And it is because we don't truly understand the gospel. Jesus did not just die for our sins. He also died so that we could be sons of God. So that's where we start. We start with adoption. Okay? Second thing I want to talk to you about. Baptism. Okay? Second observation this morning, I want you to know that baptism doesn't save us, but it reminds us of who we really are and how we're supposed to live. Baptism doesn't save us, but it reminds us of who we really are and how we're supposed to live. And guys, listen, I know Baptist is on the name out front. You came to First Baptist Church. You're like, I thought this was FBCE. We just hide it pretty well, okay? It's Baptist. We're really Bapticostals, if you ask, if you get into it, but it's fine. Or at least the pastor is, okay? But listen, we one of the things tenets we hold is that baptism is not a core belief for us. It's a conviction. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Core beliefs all have to do with salvation. That Jesus is the Son of God, that He was born of a virgin, that He lived a sinless life, that He died for our sins, that He was buried, and on the third day that He rose again, right? I mean, those are core things. Convictions are things that aren't core. They don't have to do with salvation. Listen, baptism doesn't save you. We preach this all the time. What happened this morning is amazing. It's beautiful. But that was not salvation in and of itself. That act did not save those people. Those people were saved by faith in Jesus Christ by the grace of God. Okay? So, well then what is baptism? Well, it's important. It's so important that Paul actually talks about it. He says this in verse 26. We read 26. Now let's look at 26 and 27 together. He says, "For through faith you are all sons of God in Christ Jesus. For those of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ." He says, if you've been baptized into Christ, you've been clothed with Christ. So this is a famous phrase of Paul throughout his writing. He talks about being clothed with Christ. He talks about putting on the new clothes, throwing off the old clothes. So this is kind of part of his DNA as a pastor. So what is he talking about? What is he talking about being clothed with Christ? Well, he cannot mean that baptism saves us, right? Because he just spent half the letter talking about how circumcision doesn't save us. So baptism is not the new circumcision. It's not that. But it is clearly important because he talks, again, being clothed with Christ. That's a big deal. So we need to think about clothes to understand what he means, okay? I'm going to break it down into two categories that baptism reminds us. It paints a beautiful picture. It reminds us of some things. Number one, it reminds us of who we really are, okay? It reminds us of who we really are. Ever heard the phrase, clothes make the man? Right? And it just, that phrase means that the way you dress can influence how others see you. How many people have ever played on a sports team in your life? Right? Anybody go to a private school? Not I. no, we were all public and poor. Nope. Didn't have that. I didn't even play on any of the sports teams that cost money. All you guys that are in fancy sports team with traveling bags? Nope. Carried my stuff in a little sack when I had to go somewhere. It was great. We were poor. Yeah, it's fine. When you get to high school, they pay for those things. It's great. If you were ever on a sports team or you ever went to a private school, you know what a uniform is. It identifies you. That's one of the things that baptism does, is it reminds us whose team we're on. It reminds us that we now belong to Jesus. Like I can always look back at that event because the enemy is real, and at some point he's going to make me question, did you really put your faith and trust in Jesus? And I get to go, yeah, I did. I was clothed with Christ. I remember the day. I've got it on video for crying out loud. I know whose team I'm on. So that's part of it, right? So it reminds me of that. What else do clothes do? What if we didn't have them on right now? We would be, come on somebody, you don't want to say that word in church, do you? Naked, right? We'd be naked, and it'd be odd, right? I don't think we'd show up, this many of us, just going to be honest. I know some of you are daring. You might drive in the car, but you ain't walking in a church that way, okay? Clothes at the very basic cover us, right? They cover our nakedness. God is the first person to make clothes. In Genesis chapter 3, when he kills an animal and he uses the skins to cover the nakedness and the shame of Adam and Eve. And baptism reminds us that all of our sin and shame has been covered by the blood of Jesus once and for all. It's a powerful reminder. It reminds us of who we are. But it doesn't just remind us of who we are. Baptism also reminds us of how we should live. Can I ask you a question? How close are your clothes? On me. Ain't nothing between them and me. They are tight. Some of you are like, man, if clothes are Jesus, some of you are like, Jesus is riding up on me a little bit right now. It's okay. How am I supposed to live close to Christ? I'm supposed to cling to Christ. Jesus is supposed to be the most important thing in my life. He's supposed to be automatic that when I get out of bed, I'm putting him on, that I'm choosing to walk in him. And it's a choice every day, right? It's supposed to remind me of how to live, being clothed in Christ. Last thing, being clothed in Christ means that I'm trying to be like Christ. Right? It reminds me of how to live. Well, Jesus himself submitted to baptism, not because he needed to. The Son of God, sinless. He has no need for baptism. John's baptism, by the way, was a baptism of repentance. Jesus had nothing to repent of, but he set an example for you and I. And I'm not just supposed to follow Christ's example in baptism. By the way, baptism is typically the first public act of obedience of a believer. That they're going to go, Jesus did it, I'm going to do it, I'm all in, but it's just the first of many public acts of obedience. Baptism reminds us that from here on out, I'm following Christ. I'm going to follow him not just in baptism, but I'm going to follow his teachings. That when I read the words of Jesus and he says that you shouldn't have hatred in your heart, that I'm going to confess it, that I'm going to forgive others the way that he's forgiven me, right? I belong to him. So it matters. So baptism doesn't save us, but it reminds us of who we really are and how we're supposed to live. That's what Paul means when he says that we've been clothed with Christ. One last thing. We talked about adoption. We've talked about baptism. Let's talk about Christ as our identity. Last thing, I want you to know that accepting the gospel means that I belong to Jesus above all else. Accepting the gospel means that I belong to Jesus above all else. Let's read Galatians 3, 26 through 27. I'm going to open my Bible with you again because I want you to hear it. Then I'm going to put verse 28 on the screen. It says, "For through faith you are all sons of God in Christ Jesus. For those of you who are baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ." Now verse 28 on the screen. "There is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus." Y'all, the radical nature of the gospel is that all those things in the world that are warring for my attention, all of those things in the world that are demanding my allegiance, all of those things in the world that are saying that I have to pick a side, that none of those things actually bind me anymore. None of them define me anymore. I'm defined by one thing, Christ alone. And that means, that has huge ramifications, by the way. That means that nothing outside of this place should ever divide us. That no political party should ever divide us. That no race should ever divide us. No amount of money should ever divide us. No language barrier should divide us, right? Because if we've accepted Christ, then we are all sons of God. It says none of those things matters. This is what's primary. And guys, I can't think of a better message this season than just that. That as believers in Jesus, we know who's in charge. That we're not going out next month to try to vote a Savior into an office because we know that the Savior is in his office. That he's making all things right and that he's coming back to take us to be with him where he is. We know that our allegiance is to him and to him alone and that nothing should divide us. The gospel is radical in its nature. That's why Paul can write in chapter 2, we already studied it, I'll put it on the screen again, "I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So what do we do with these ABCs? What do we do with Galatians 3, 26 through 4, 7? I'm going to give you some application this morning and we'll let you go. Number one, I pray that you would receive Jesus by believing the gospel. I pray that you would receive Jesus by believing the gospel. You saw the testimony of three people that have done just that this morning, that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They believe that Jesus came and lived the sinless life that they couldn't, that Jesus willingly chose to die on the cross to pay the penalty for their sins. The Bible says that the wage of sin is death, and Jesus died in our place. And they said, "Yes, I believe that." And by God's grace, they were saved. Baptism was a symbol of that salvation, not that salvation itself. I would challenge you to become a child of God today. And I know it can be challenging when you read a book like this. I'm going to read this line again. It's easy to read verse 26 and say, "You are all sons of God." But that is not what it says. I'm going to read it again. It says this. It says, "For through faith you are all sons of God in Christ Jesus." It is not you're all sons. A lot of people in our world, they think, well, we're all children of God. No, we were all created by God. We are not all children of God. You only become a child of God, you only become a son of God by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." Okay, that's it. Now some may say, well, that doesn't seem fair, that there could only be one way. And yet, I tell you, we've said this a few times in here, that listen, if there were a fire in this building, God forbid, and all the doors were locked, and we were all freaking out, being, I'm gonna die, and then I said, hey, that door right there, that singular door is unlocked, it is open, nobody would stand here and complain, I can't believe there's only one door out. Nobody would stand up here on their soapbox and cry and go, I just don't think that's fair. They would run to the door. They would thank God for a door that hadn't been bolted, that wasn't chained. There is a door, but it's narrow. It is only through faith in Christ that we can be saved. So I pray that you would believe in Him today. Second, I would challenge you to get baptized. Y'all, it matters. It is not about salvation, but it is significant. So I tell people, it's not about salvation, but it is significant. I've got a lady in the second service being baptized. Miss Olivia is slightly older than me. She's a little slightly more older than me. But Olivia is amazing, and Olivia Watts is going to be baptized in our second service. And man, she said, listen, I just knew it was time. I've been praying about it. I've been reading the Word, and the Word says, I got to do this. And so she's going to be baptized. Maybe that's your story. Maybe you've been following Christ for a long time. Maybe you've just never publicly done that. Maybe this morning is the first time you're going to receive Christ. Let's talk about the importance of baptism. Be clothed with Christ through baptism. Last thing, and I'll be quiet. I want to challenge you to take advantage of your access as a child. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about prayer. Christians, I love you. I've been doing this a long time. I've done lots of spiritual inventories with you people. Doing with myself. Do you know where most Christians' flat tire is? Oh, we study the Bible. Oh, we love worship. Oh, we definitely love us some fellowship, especially if food is involved. For most Christians, their flat tire is prayer. They don't do it enough. When they do pray, they pray very irregularly. Sometimes they pray with the wrong motives, like James says, just I want. We treat God like a vending machine. Please now, give me this right now. Need it now. I wonder, do we use the access that we have to God as sons like we should? Do you run to Him about everything? Just talk to Him about whatever is on your mind? Do you lay a request down before Him that only a father that is all-powerful can handle? Do we pray enough? Take advantage of that, okay? Here's what I want to do right now. I want to pray with you. I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, to bow your heads for a moment. Just where you are. We're going to bow our heads. I'm going to ask that nobody look around. If every head would be bowed, every eye would be closed, that would be great. I just want to do this for a moment this morning. Every single week since August, we've had people in our midst that are in this place, and they've been far away from Christ. They're coming saying, hey, I want to be a believer in Jesus. And we're going to do this. We're just going to dim the lights just a little bit so nobody's looking around. That's down on those, not up on those slides. Slide 1 and 2 down. Other way. There we go. Cool. Just so nobody's looking around. If you were here this morning and you heard this morning that you could be a son of God, if you heard this morning for the first time that Jesus loved you so much that He died for you so that you could become a child of God, if you heard that this morning and you would just confess in this room, just say, that is something that I want. I would love to be a child of God. Would you just raise your hand where you are? Nobody's looking around. Just raise your hand. Awesome. Anybody else? Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? Just keep those hands up for me for a moment. Okay. Okay. Man, if you raised your hand, would you do me a favor? This is brave right now, but you're the only one that's doing it. You that raised your hand, I want you to just look at me. Let's make eye contact for 1 second, okay? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I just want to talk to you when we're done. I'm not going to embarrass you right now. Is that cool? Okay, awesome. Guys, we're going to pray right now. We're going to pray with these people that have said, I want to be a child of God. Now, those of you that have already, you're already a believer, guess what? This is your prayer for them. You're not re-praying this prayer so that you could become a Christian again. You're joining them in prayer. You're taking them to the throne of God, and you're going to pray this prayer. For those of you that raised your hand and said, I want to become a child of God, this is how everyone in this room became a child at some point. And these words are not magical. They change every time. But it is a basic prayer where we confess our sin to God and we say, Jesus, would you come into my life right now? Take control of me. Help me live for you. So we're going to pray this prayer together, okay? Everybody's going to pray out loud. Dear God, I come to you right now. I just want to confess that I am a sinner. And I need you. I feel so far away from you. But today I heard that Jesus came so that I could be your child. I don't fully understand all that yet. But I know that I want to be yours. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Teach me how to live for you. I will be yours for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.